Hey, everybody, and welcome to Learning from Smart People. I am your host, Rob Oliver, and with me today is Serafina Arthur Williams. She is the CEO and founder of Intentional Simplicity, a wellness-based mental health private practice. As a Black creative, she holds a master's degree in psychology and discusses positive psychology, wellness, and mindfulness through her online presence. She is ranked on FeedSpot's top psychology bloggers of 2020 and features as a guest speaker on a variety of mental health platforms. Serafina, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. And so I'm curious, let's start here. Intentional simplicity, kind of what is it and how did you get started with this?
It's more so of a self-driven passion that started out when I was in my master's program. I was required to complete a vlog for one of my positive psychology classes, and I found that I had so much joy in doing it, and it was such a way to release my creative juices when you're in a field that isn't really encouraged by creativity and more so science and factual based information and dialogue. Creativity is often put to the back burner. And so my blog started out as a way for me to heal and to enjoy this process of creating while also learning and being around wonderful scholars in the field of psychology. And so by opening up Intentional Simplicity, I found that there is a need for Black mental health practitioners to be here and to talk about how to heal within the Black community, and also how empathy is part of our healing due to our trauma and our history.
Okay, so just out of curiosity, as someone who also holds a master's degree in psychology, where did you go to school?
Absolutely. I went to Carlo University in Pittsburgh. So we talked about that earlier. Right. That brought me to Pittsburgh.
Okay, absolutely awesome. So I was in Pittsburgh. I transferred into Pittsburgh when I got married and went to the University of Pittsburgh at Greensburg to get my bachelor's in psych, and then went to Duquesne University. So I'm glad that you've been brought to the city. And one of the things that I really like to do with this show, we have international experts on here, but I want to highlight what a really cool city Pittsburgh is. And it's, you know, what I've found is it's the people that makes the city what it is, and it makes the city welcoming and wonderful. Okay, so you're looking, and I completely agree with what you said. So much of psychology is looking at numbers and just is looking at diagnostics and so forth. And you're talking about creativity. So as you're working with this blog, you come up with this idea of intentional simplicity. What is that concept?
So intentional simplicity is truly being intentional and mindful of how you move through the world. My aim is to encourage people to become more present and grounded in their experiences. And so we intentionally try to be simple. You know, we simply focus on our basics and our fundamental ways of just being here and being human. And so with that is I incorporate our senses into this process, how we view ourselves and how we make sense of our identity and how we move through the world. I really focus on the mind-body connection, and I think that they are connected. And with my background in art therapy, that's where my creativity comes thrown in. And I'm able to be more condescending of how do I want to be in this world, and how do I want to move through in that experience.
So as you simplify things, you're talking about the mind-body connection. Can you give me some examples of how people can intentionally, purposefully simplify their lives, or give us some just practical examples of what you're talking about, if you don't mind?
Yeah, absolutely. So for example, on my Instagram page, I break down all the things I do intentionally so that they're present and able, people can actually jump into those spaces. And so for instance, I love going outdoors. I love nature. And in that, we have access to it. No matter where you are, you have access to our outdoors. You have access to the way the earth feels and how we can ground ourselves. I love putting my feet into the ground and just feeling that experience. And so that's intentionally being simplistic about how you're going to heal and how you're going to approach nature. You know, we need that natural connection to our organic selves. Another example of that would be what you have around you. I love music and I love reading and I love art. So like, how do you find those ways to use your imagination. You're tapping into those parts that allow you to be more intuitive and more aware of where you want to go and how you want to be in the world. And my most favorite is I have a dog, so I love to go for walks. Exercising is a wonderful way of being intentionally simplistic, is truly going out and going for a walk, taking yourself out of that space where, how can I get that energy and exercise to move around, you know? We hold a lot of tension inside of our body, so moving and really giving yourself that opportunity to find another way of moving and being in the world. My dog often encourages me to go outside all the time. I'm like, no, Gracie, I don't want to. But she makes it happen, and it helps me remind myself that I can do these small things to help me feel grounded.
Okay, so just because I need to know this, what kind of dog is Gracie?
Gracie's a Lhasa Apso, and she's also a poodle, so she's a mix. And she's about 2 years old, and she's in the process of becoming my therapy dog, so I can help my clients in this process too.
That's awesome. So I know that they have like all kinds of doodle names. Is she like a Lhasa? Oh, what's the technical term for a cross between a Lhasa Apso and a poodle?
So a Lhasa, I guess a Lhasa poo.
Okay.
And Lhasa Apsos have very, very long, long hair. Gracie has short hair, and then it has like a small curl to it. She's like really cool.
Not that you would be partial to her just because she's your dog, but I'm certain that she is amazingly cool. Okay. So you're working on this concept of purposefully simplifying your life. It's intentional simplicity. Now, you have this kind of as a therapy tool that you're working with people on. Tell me a little bit about the different services that you offer, because I understand there's different ways that you can do this as far as like therapy and coaching and what different services are you offering and how does that work?
Yeah, for sure. So with our approach to intentional simplicity, we want this to be individually and uniquely fit for each person who's coming. So what do you need in your life right now, and how can we make it most affordable and also doable? How can you fit this into your lifestyle? So wellness consulting is that base rate and giving that client a space to practice these tools on their own. So you get a workbook in that process. You have access to me and how to achieve your goals, even though they're really, really hard to do. And you don't want to be alone in that process. So I'm here giving you that support and also giving you means to how do you achieve what you really want to do? And how do you really know what you're wanting to decide? How do you want your future to pan out? Wellness coaching is another sense of like, do you really know where you are? And that's that starting from the foundation. I say wellness consulting is like, you feel like you have your move going and you have this like understanding of wellness and you feel more active in this process. Whereas wellness coaching is starting from the bottom up and helping you build your identity of wellness and what that looks like. And my most favorite is a wellness-based individual therapy. So I am a therapist, and I love that connection and that therapeutic access. So if mental health is one of your highest points of need and an area in your wellness that you find to be difficult for you to tap into, that's where we'll explore that therapeutic aspect of it and that conversation piece within that narrative. But you also get wellness coaching and wellness consultation because that's all a part of who I am. You know, that's all a part of what intentional simplicity is to give you that grounding so that you can sustainably practice on your own.
Okay, what does wellness mean to you?
Oh yeah, that's a wonderful question. So wellness means to me feeling as if you're grounded and whole in all parts of who you are. And I know there is like, I consider it like a pie. And as the eight dimensions of wellness, some areas are going to get more of your attention and some areas are not going to get more attention because this is how our environment moves through. But thinking about your finances, your physical, your spiritual, your mental, social, all these other things like work and your career, that's a huge part of your life. And if you're working so much, you're probably not spending more time on your spiritual aspect and vice versa if you're putting too much into one area. So for me, how do you find a way to create sustainability within each of these parts? And I found that within my journey of wellness is those intentional bases, those fundamental parts of who you are. So are you drinking water? Are you stretching? Are you making sure that your hygiene is kept up to date? Are you communicating with people who you need to be around to help you feel encouraged and inspired? Are you being mindful of your spending? Are you considering how you meditate? And what spirituality means to you. So like, we really want to focus on all these parts because it is who you are, you know?
It's basically a holistic view of 8 areas of your life that all need to kind of be brought into, is the word alignment, or what, is there a better word that you would use for that?
I like alignment, but in truth, it will never, I'm just being realistic, it will never be aligned, you know, where we come to different parts of our life. And sometimes your physical health is better than your mental health because of whatever it may be. So I guess to you, what does alignment mean and how would that fit for you and what you're looking for?
Okay. So I love the explanation. It's what we're basically looking at is trying to get some equality and some wholeness in there, because sometimes when you're slicing up the pie, when one slice gets a little bit too big, that means there's another slice that's kind of a little bit smaller. And I don't know, growing up in my house, somehow I always got to be the one that got the smaller slice when it was cut that way. But I digress, and that's just, you know. Although, here's on a side note, my mom, very, very wise lady, and I learned a lot from her, but she taught me that that was what love does, right? When the pie gets sliced, if there's a smaller slice, love takes the smaller slice so that somebody else gets a bigger one. Just a cool side note of things that my mom taught me that stuck with me to this day. So as you're talking about this idea of wellness, that concept is not something that's just limited to kind of like your personal life, I would imagine. Are there broader aspects to that as well?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's also intentional simplicity within the workspace and also within education. And I think that these two core parts of how our economy runs and how we make sense of the world need to have the most influence of wellness, because we are the people working there, right? We are the humans having to endure these experiences. And so knowing how to make a business space more conducive to people feeling that they want to be there, you know, that they also consider what other aspects of our clients' or our employees' lives. Same thing with education. So I'm a student, and you probably have much familiarity with the process of being a student as well. And the hard work that you put into it, you, when someone asks about what else is happening in your life, you're so like, more so like starstruck, because you're like, oh, wait. Is that also part of my life? Am I also supposed to be working out? Am I also supposed to be checking in with people? And in that process, you hurt, you know, that it takes away from what that joy of learning is to bring your full self there and to use your experiences to make sense of the world and make sense of your knowledge. So wellness is essential. It is, and it's a wonderful way to encourage students and people who are around us to start talking that way and to start helping other people make sense of their wellness.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about this, but do you have the experience that I had? And at some point, I actually stopped learning for the sake of grades, and I started to learn because it was something that I wanted to know about, and I could see how it applies to my life. Is that a feeling that you've had as well?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. I think that's where intentional simplicity like blossomed, because I was like, I need to do this for me. I need to do this for a way that makes it fulfilling and not just I'm waiting for the expectations of someone else or the feedback of someone else who doesn't align with who I am, you know, and these educators are here for us to gain knowledge, but not to sway us in a way that hurts us or diminishes our light.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I talk about this on the show sometimes, but when I was 21, I had a spinal cord injury. And at that point in time, I was in the middle of college, and I was a psychology major before that. But after the injury, I became what I called a psychology major with purpose, because going through that trauma, going through the counseling and the therapy and all of the things that I went through, I realized that this is not just an ethereal concept that lives in academia, but there are real practical implications of exactly what I'm studying here. And it sounds to me like you have maybe not the same thing, but you've got a similar understanding.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think when I left undergrad and I was able to mesh, I was in school for art therapy, then I jumped into a psychology program. And so when I was able to mesh psychology and art, that's when everything aligned, I guess we talked about earlier, and started to make sense to me. It's like, how do I want my career and my you are in education for a very long time when you continue higher ed, even before then. And so how do you let all this stuff that you learn, how do you let it manifest within you so that you can become a higher level of who you are? And in that, I was like, I need to enjoy this because the field I want to be in is going to take me for a long time. I'm going to be on a ride. I need to be ready for the ups and downs of it. And so the easiest thing I can do for myself is that intentionality of, I'm going to give myself grace. You know, I'm going to give myself time to become and to explore what this space is going to be for me and how do I make it my best. And so psychology has also made me more insightful and more aware of what goes on around me and the person that I want to be. And very similar to you, it really moves you. You know, it helps you, helps a lot of other areas of your life as well when you feel empowered to be somewhere and to do something for you.
Okay. I love it, and it feels as though we have a kindred spirit.
Right.
One of the things that you mentioned, and I don't know the exact wording that you used, but you talked about the African American experience, and I think that there are kind of parallel tracks here in which, yeah, I'm white, and you know, but I acquired a disability, and because of that, I went from majority status to minority status pretty quickly. What is it about that minority psychology, that minority makeup, that minority history and experience that you really focus on or that you think others can learn from?
Oh, yeah. And so I value that you even brought that up because it's essential for us to recognize that we are different. You know, we have different backgrounds. We have different stories. You know, you started off your life being able to be mobile and not have a disability. And in this space, you're not able to. So you have a whole understanding of what happened in your past and now where you are. And with minority culture and the history that goes into racial oppression and slavery and everything and more, we as mental health providers, we must acknowledge that there is trauma. There is racial trauma there. People are moved because of their history and being put on like a platform to be treated poorly or to be disregarded or to be stereotyped because of the way you are truly does a lot to the heart. It does a lot to the body. It does a lot to the mind. And our trauma is held within our body. So considering whether or not we are taking time to value the importance of our history and how it impacts how we view our life, the Black community needs support and needs healing. And that's another part of why Intentional Simplicity began to blossom, was because we decided that empathy was what we wanted to teach practitioners. We wanted to teach business people. We wanted to teach educators. How do you be empathetic towards people you don't know or don't understand? And how do you be empathetic towards a culture that is treated so poorly? You know, within our field, I feel like we should know how to do that because we understand how the mind works and how, these abstract ideas become facts in our life when they're really not. So this has just been a really moving time for me. My research right now is surrounding how African-American women can use their history to inform how they're going to develop their future legacies. And I love that concept because this is embodies who I am, one, but also we have so many voices that aren't heard, you know, specifically within the BIPOC community. We need to be talking, we need to be in the field, we need to be leading, we need to be discussing these topics because we're the ones who have to endure it. And knowing how to overcome that activism, you know, you want to keep fighting, you get burnt out very easily. So like, how do you maneuver through that? And having a community of people who help you do that is the first step.
Yeah. One of the areas that I've come to understand is because my injury occurred when I was 21, I had already developed my concept of self. Mm. Okay. And so to this day, even though I have a disability, that is not my primary identity. Okay. Mm. I'm Rob. That's who I am. And then I'm a husband. I'm a dad. I'm active in church. You know, just there's a long list of things that I go through before I even come to disability, even if I even count disability as something that defines me. And yet I understand that there is a long history with disability as well, a history of segregation, of stigma, of, you know, institutionalization, of marginalization, of, you know, even to this day where you're looking at employment statistics for people with disabilities are abysmal. And yet my concept of self is was formed before I acquired my disability. I'm curious to get your perspective on what it's like being a part of the African American community, where it's not like, and I hope I'm not, you know, saying this in an insensitive way, it's not like you wake up at 21 and all of a sudden you're Black.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong experience. Okay. Can you talk to me a little bit about your perspective on how that happens or on what difference that makes?
Yes, of course. So this 2020 upcoming of Black Lives Matter has been more of a negative experience. It was more of a negative experience when I first experienced it, and then became a positive one towards the middle of it. So right now, but I was frustrated because I said, I've been Black my entire life, and how come I all of a sudden matter? How come all of a sudden people who are different from me or who are white feel empowered to be kind to me now? How come you want to stop and give me my space now? All these things I was just like curious about and frustrated because, no, you were born this color. You were born this way. You grow up in a dynamic where I have African-American cousins and parents and family and friends. And so it's not odd. This is what you look like. This is what our family is like. And then you go out of that and you experience a whole new view of people, and they can either like you or not like you. And that's where it gets really scary, because you are more hypervigilant. You're more aware. You're more anxiety prone. You're more prepared to be on your P's and Q's because you don't know how the world is going to perceive you. And that doesn't come from you. It comes from other. And that's where it gets really frustrating. Intense, because now you're fighting this internal bias of who you are and what your race is, but also trying to make sense of how the outwardly community or the environment makes sense of who you are when they don't know you. And all they do is see your color, or in your case, see your disability. And you're like, you're so intersectional, it's not even funny. It's like, there's so much more of me that's here, and you're only capitalizing on this one part.
No.
So it's very moving, but you experience it differently at each stage, I think, in your life.
You are so right. And this is something that I've mentioned before as well. And that is, I had to come to an understanding that prejudice, bias, and stigma all exist, but they exist in other people. And what they say about me, what they think about me, that doesn't change the value that I have. That doesn't change who I am. It's in them. And yet at the same time, it's very frustrating, because it's easy to say, when I go in for a job interview and I don't get the job, I can say, well, it's their loss. They're missing out because I would have been a fantastic employee. However, at the same time, I still don't have a job, even though I can say they're missing out. So am I. I'm not bringing in any income because I don't have that job. And that's where you have that kind of dual threat or dual discussion, that it is both the idea of, yes, I am comfortable with who I am and I have to accept myself for who I am, but then understanding that just because others cannot devalue me, they can in some ways limit my own opportunities.
Absolutely.
Which, and I'll say this, and that's actually why I decided to become an entrepreneur, is to say, now, because I'm in charge of the company and because I'm in charge of my future, that is, I set the parameters, I set the limits, and I go where I want. My potential to go as high as I would like is limited only by my ability to work in that and share in that and be a part of that. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. It's a wonderful way to recognize the reality of the situation, but also to recognize your strength in a situation, your resiliency, I think, to bring that forward. It's wonderful.
So let me just highlight two quick things here before we wrap this up. You are an artist as well. And tell me a little bit about what you're doing with your art. And I believe you're using that kind of on your website and with therapy, or how's that work?
Yeah, for sure. So I have a component of art that I use just for my own healing and my own reflection process as just like a human. I also incorporate art therapy within my clients. We use art as therapy. We incorporate it in a way that helps clients to practice, since we do everything virtually, practice outside of our therapy sessions, and to bring the artwork they create. And that's just to help them bring their unconscious into the conscious so we can talk about things. But for my space, this year I created Noir 2020. This is our Blackness collection, and it's so rich and so saturated in who Black people are. And so far, it's been people who I know in my community around me. But I'm wanting to expand that to people all around, like people who are your viewers or who are your listeners. If you'd like to be featured on Noir 2020 collection, you are more than welcome to. Please send us a message on our website and everything and more. But this collection really saturates the Black community and talks and just lets our photographs speak what their truth is. You know, it shows our authenticity and our creativity within our just natural being and our organic selves. And that's what I want the world to recognize and accept about who we are.
Cool. Before I get you to get your website and everything out there, I just want to highlight one other thing. You're doing some stuff on social media with meme therapy. In about 45 seconds, can you tell me what that's about?
Yeah, for sure. So meme therapy is a space that saturates your Instagram timeline with a bunch of things to help you process who you are and how your mind works. It's very an introspective space for you to help you explore where you want to go and what your wellness journey looks like.
Beautiful. And that's, I will make sure I'll put a link to your website as well as to your Instagram page on in the show notes, and folks can find you that way. So just for anyone who's listening and doesn't have a chance to check out the notes, what is your website?
Sure. My website is liveintentionallysimplistic.com. It's made through WordPress. I'm also on Facebook, which is the same thing, Intentional Simplicity LLC. And then on Instagram, I'm Intentionally Simplicity LLC as well. So everything is on my website. Everything is pretty basic and the same all throughout, so I don't get lost. But please check us out. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. I will do that. You have been fantastic. I have learned a lot from you. It is obvious that you're smart, but now it's my favorite time of the show. It is three questions to establish your humanity. Are you ready for this?
I'm ready.
Okay. Do you have a favorite holiday?
Ooh, Valentine's Day.
How come?
My birthday's the day after.
There you go. It's a 2-for-1 special.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When you were a kid, did you eat the crust on your sandwich, or did you need someone to cut the crust off your sandwich?
Crust on. I love crust.
So the more crust, the better?
The more crust, the better, for sure. Toasted.
So I'm with you on that. When I was in rehab, every day I ate a toasted peanut butter and jelly sandwich. That was my comfort food, and it made me feel good. All right, last question for you. What would you consider a hidden treasure here in the city of Pittsburgh?
Oh no, Mount Washington is always the best, but it's not hidden at all. I can't think of one. I love Phipps. That's also a treasure. I love flowers. The Andy Warhol Museum. I'm like, there's so many things. Right.
Okay, so I'm going to bail you out here, and I'm going to tell you my hidden treasure in Pittsburgh. And I'm a foodie. I'm all about food. It is a little cookie bakery called Nancy B's Bakery. It's in Homestead. It's right at the intersection of 7th Street and 8th Street in Homestead. If you're familiar with where that is, they have the best chocolate chip cookies in the world. And they also have amazing snickerdoodles. Each of their cookies weighs like 5 pounds. They're fantastic. The problem is that if you ever try them, it will ruin you for all other cookies.
So we just have to get them. And Pittsburgh's obsessed with the cookie trays and things like that.
Yes. For any of my listeners that are outside of Pittsburgh, there is a Pittsburgh tradition at weddings, which I was not familiar with until I came out here. And I think it's the best tradition in the world. It is the cookie trays. So you eat your meal, you have your dessert. And then after, as everyone's getting ready to leave, they have these big cookie tables, and you get like a bag and you stuff the bag with cookies and you enjoy. Oh, it's phenomenal.
It truly is a treat.
Yep. Hey, Serafina, thank you so much for being on the show today. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely.
To all my listeners, I remind you, I'd love for you to subscribe, to follow us. We've got, we're out there on just about every platform you can think of. And I will just do two things. Number one, I want to say thank you for listening and being a part of the show. Number two, I will remind you that when you stop learning, you stop living. Have a great day, everybody.